Non-commercials abound over the next few days, and one of them, the night after Halloween, is not a horror movie. Next Monday at 7, the Orpheum will show Deep Down, about a community trying to save itself from destruction by a coal mining operation, which to some will certainly have its aspects of horror. But except for that Monday night, all the non-commercials are horror movies of one kind or another. Tonight at 8, the Murdoch at 536 North Broadway offers House. Not related to the television series, but a Japanese movie about a haunted house and people who disappear there. Then tomorrow night, the Murdoch offers the original Japanese horror, Let the Right One In, at 8. The American remake was Let Me In. The Japanese seem to be featuring horror movies we make imitations of these days. Saturday at 7, the Orpheum is showing Poltergeist, produced by Steven Spielberg. And tomorrow at 7:30, the Orpheum shows the Eagles' own Rod Pakowatchitz, The Dead Can't Dance, with a whole slew of zombies, one of which is appealing in a pitiful kind of a way. And commercially, we have touches of the supernatural, if not actual horror, in Hereafter by none other than Clint Eastwood. The couple I talked to in the theater thought Hereafter was top stuff, but it didn't satisfy me. I have to avoid telling the plot, which consists of three stories almost completely independent of each other, but I have to say that all three are related in that they include elements of at least the paranormal, if not the supernatural. It depends on what you personally believe. The most important element is Matt Damon's supposed ability to communicate with the dead. But one problem I had was I wasn't sure Eastwood and screenwriter Peter Morgan realized how little communication with the dead was unmistakably shown. A lot of the perhaps supernatural stuff looked to me like simple mind reading, like the submerged woman, or even simpler memory, like the little girl with the doll. Some of it was more remarkable, like the matter of the cap and the sins of the father, but even these could easily have been mind reading with a touch of luck. And surely Eastwood and Morgan must have known how closely Damon's interview techniques resembled those of clever nightclub mind readers who don't claim any powers at all. There were other problems that bothered me more than they did the couple. The problem Damon said he faced with Bryce Dallas Howard should have applied just as much to relations with Cecil de France, but doesn't seem to. And Howard seems unnecessarily unable to handle a problem that she should have learned to live with, even if it was still a problem. The linking of the three separate stories at the end is not very clever, and the best scene in the movie, in fact one of the best scenes of its kind ever, is a tsunami at the start, which could have been replaced by a bathtub accident as far as the story is concerned. Hereafter is no great shakes for consistent structure. But Damon is subtle and effective, Bryce Dallas Howard is irresistibly cute, and you have that incredible tsunami. A lot of movies offer less, and others seem to like Hereafter more than I did. Jim Erickson. Over and out.